November 2nd marks 100 years since the Balfour Declaration, issued in 1917 by British Foreign Secretary Arthur Balfour in the form of a letter to Lord Walter Rothschild. It communicated to Zionist organizations that the British government will, quote, use their best endeavor to facilitate the achievement of the creation of a future state of Israel. And of course, that was achieved with the formation of the State of Israel in 1948. Now, indeed, it's been reported that in the Middle East Monitor that Balfour, who was the Foreign Secretary of Britain at the time, who issued the 84 words, and I'll say what those 84 words were, was in fact anti-Semitic, and that he really didn't care about Jewish communities, and his commitment to establishing the state of Israel or a Jewish state was really meant to get their support of wealthy Zionists, to get the support of wealthy Zionist leaders in Britain's massive military buildup during World War I. You'll have to remember that was the history of the time. And just to read you the letter, November 2nd, 1917, Dear Lord Rothschild, I have much pleasure in conveying to you, on behalf of His Majesty's government, the following declaration of sympathy with Jewish Zionist aspirations, which has been submitted to and approved by the Cabinet. His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object. It being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine, nor the rights and political status enjoyed by Jews in any other country. I should be grateful if you would bring this declaration to the knowledge of the Zionist Federation. And that is it. And this statement really a precursor to establishing the State of Israel and fundamentally destroying Palestine. Let us go now to a clip, if that is ready, from Al Jazeera on the Balfour Declaration. There are all kinds of events being held in the UK marking the Balfour Declaration. As you can imagine, a lot of controversy as well.
The Balfour Declaration was a letter sent by British Foreign Secretary Arthur Balfour to a member of the British House of Lords, Lord Rothschild, on the 2nd of November, 1917. This letter, sent to a leading figure in the British Jewish community 100 years ago, had repercussions which even its authors cannot have imagined. Whatever its real intentions, it went on to have a profound impact on the Middle East and its people. And its effects still resonate across the region today.
I'd like to welcome Dr. Ramzi Baroud, journalist, media consultant, author, and internationally syndicated columnist, as well as editor of the Palestine Chronicle. He was formerly the managing editor of the Middle East Eye and the deputy managing editor of Al Jazeera Online. He's the author of multiple books, including My Father Was a Freedom Fighter, Gaza's Untold Story, and The Second Palestinian Intifada, A Chronicle of a People's Struggle. Dr. Baroud has a PhD in Palestine Studies from the University of Exeter, and his work has been published in hundreds of newspapers and journals worldwide, including the Washington Post, the Japan Times, Gulf News, and more. Dr. Baroud, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Margaret. It's a pleasure.
Okay, so Dr. Baroud, I mean, I imagine everyone is quite struck by just the simplicity of the language of the Balfour Declaration itself, but also notably the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people. Give us just a little background on why that statement was made and the impact that it had at the time.
Right. It's interesting that you use the word simplicity in the language, which is absolutely true. It's important that we understand that at the time, the Zionist movement was not terribly powerful, at least in terms of its intention to establish a state for Zionists in Palestine. Prior to that, for, say, the last 20 years since the first conference in Switzerland, the idea of establishing a country for Zionists was kind of like a pipe dream, if you will. They discussed various ideas. They wanted, at the point, they were convinced that Uganda, the place, the Ugandans, that wasn't the case. They discussed Argentina, and then finally discussed the Sinai Desert in Egypt. None of these things worked out, and the Kenyan white settler community did not want a Jewish state there. They rejected it, and so forth, until they settled on the idea of Palestine. The Balfour Declaration was really meant to be like a contract. I do something for you, you do something for me. Now, what was interesting is that at the time when Arthur made that promise, Britain wasn't even in control of Palestine yet. Palestine was still under the influence of the Ottoman Empire, or under the control of the Ottoman Empire. Britain did not take over until a month later. They anticipated it. They saw that this was happening, and they needed to give that assurance to the Zionists in Europe in order for them to achieve two things. Number one, Britain was struggling in World War One. In one single battle, they lost 60,000 soldiers in one single day. So what they needed financial support, and that was the main reason behind it. But there was another reason, and Alison Ware, an American historian, explains that very well in an article that you could find in the Palestine Chronicle today, and that they needed the United States to be involved in the war. The Zionists were influential in Washington, and they needed that to happen, and indeed that took place. So with that, the Zionists supported Britain, and Britain fulfilled that promise several years later when they took control of Palestine through the mandate of Palestine that was given to them to the League of Nations. And they worked to facilitate the Jewish state in Palestine, which took place in 1948, which resulted in the ethnic cleansing of 1 million Palestinians and the conflict that we see in front of us.
Yeah, and Dr. Baroud, you know, we often hear that the reason that Palestine was chosen to be taken over, right, Palestinians basically evicted and the Zionist state establish, is that this was the land given to the people by God, right? And there's very, very little information or discussion to the history that you just outlined about places like Kenya or parts of Argentina or Uganda being considered for the establishment of the Jewish state, or I should say a Zionist state, because we do have to make a distinction between the Jewish people and Zionists, and I'll ask you a little about that in a moment. So, you know, just your response to that, because a tale has now been spun justifying, it seems, not only the eviction of the Palestinian people, but the apartheid-like conditions that exist today for Palestinian people.
The thing that's really interesting about this particular claim that Israel is the promised land for the Jewish people, it was a land with no people, for people with no land, it's part of really more or less modern propaganda that did not really start until the 1950s. And there's some interesting research that has been done about this, specifically with the first Israeli Prime Minister, Ben-Gurion, worrying about the fact that international sympathy is going to the Palestinian refugees who were scattered in refugee camps in Palestine and all across the Middle East. And they needed to create this narrative that is selling very, very well in the United States in particular. In Israel itself, it's not paramount. You don't really hear this narrative a great deal in Israel itself. It is the Zionist narrative that's quite dominant there. And the Zionist narrative is rather a political, ideological narrative, not a religious one, not a biblical one, right? So this is really catered kind of the sensibilities of American audiences and uses the Bible and religious claims to make that point. However, the reality is the Zionists themselves were quite atheists. Again, tons of research done about this by Israeli historians themselves. There's very little evidence that the early Zionists, whether Herzl himself, Theodor Herzl, or those who followed him until the establishment of Israel in 1948, actually kind of cultivated the biblical or religious narrative almost at all in their attempt to build a state. Now, this became quite relevant later on for two reasons. Number one, they needed to create a unified narrative that brings sympathies from Christians all across the world. But number two, many Jews were not convinced. Many Jews, especially the religious ones, did not trust the Zionist movement, did not think that it's really according to biblical prophecies. It wasn't time to go back to Palestine in the first place. And many of them did not join the Zionists. They did not trust them, did not join them. And so that narrative was cleverly kind of created in order for them to sell the idea to the masses, whether in the Christian or in the Jewish communities. And eventually it became the dominant narrative. But in the early history of Zionism, there's very little references to this kind of talk at all.
Yeah, it's really quite something. And we are a little short of time, Dr. Barud, but it's interesting. In the letter to Lord Rothschild, it says that it being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine. Well, clearly that didn't happen, did it?
It didn't happen at all. But what I also think that's really quite interesting about the language, the existing non-Jewish communities, well, guess what? Those non-Jewish communities were 90% of the total population of Palestine at the time. There were Christians and Muslims who have dwelled in that land, their ancestral land, for millennia. And yet the reference that was made to them was so blasé, was so irrelevant. Like, as long as they are treated fairly well, then it's okay for you to take over this land. And, of course, 100 years later, we know that even that poor reference to those communities was never really fulfilled and respected, as you have 6 million Palestinian refugees living in refugee camps all across the Middle East, in diaspora all across the world. Their rights were never respected, and yet somehow Britain thinks it's completely appropriate to celebrate the Balfour Declaration as if it was a triumph for human civilization.
Yeah. Well, we have been covering pretty regularly the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Tomorrow being the historic day of the Balfour Declaration, November 2nd, Dr. Ramzi Barud, we appreciate you joining us and breaking this down for us. Thank you.
Thank you.